Coming up on this week's episode of the FitCast, we're going to talk about lower body exercises that you can do with limited equipment, and we discuss why people are still debating that calories are not calories. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 215. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. Lee, how you doing?
Doing good, Kevin. How you doing?
Feeling pretty good. I feel like we literally haven't talked in like almost, well, 2 weeks, I guess.
I know. It's
no, 3 weeks, because we recorded, no, 2 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah, how was your trip?
It was good. Got to enjoy the wonderful Arizona weather, and I mean that honestly. I thought it was spectacular. It was 95, but you know, we were inside for a good portion of the time, so you know, we kind of had to enjoy the weather outside when we actually got outside, which for the most part we did.
I read there was water park trips.
Yes, there were water park trips. I went to the water park quite a bit, so that was a fun time. And I apologize if the audio is like a little bit weird this week. It's because I'm at my parents' house on a laptop and I don't have my professional audio set up, so I apologize. I'm using a headset.
Sounds good on my end.
I hope so. But yeah, that's all good. You know, got my talk for 12 hours and it was good stuff, and you know, we'll see what comes of that, but that's pretty much it for me. And now I'm just kind of hanging out with my two dogs, my parents' dog and my dog, where they're getting along. And I apologize if they end up barking sometime during the podcast. I'm not going to lock them outside like some people suggested on the iTunes reviews. So
those people suck.
Yeah. Why don't you just put your dogs outside for an hour and a half? I don't know. Because I live in the Northeast. All right.
You tell them.
So, yeah, that happened. How you been?
I've been good. Just doing my thing. Not too much news, I guess, to report on the blog website front. Just going through the 10,000 challenge. It's been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
For those not aware, doing a new challenge. And it's really cool because we take in... It's not just a transformation challenge. You're supposed to get credits based upon charitable events, education, all types of things. So it really encompasses what I feel like the ultimate human being is about. So it's a really cool challenge, and it's neat to see what people can accomplish in a week when they decide to think about things and put their mind to it. Everything from volunteering at places they never would have thought to volunteer at, to helping out animals or doing donations. So it's a very cool challenge. And so that's been going on, and have some writing stuff coming up and some announcements there. But it's kind of a background boiling scene right now. A lot that's going to happen, just not happening yet.
Speaking of good challenges, right now I am downloading something and uploading something to YouTube, and we're still able to have a conversation on Skype.
That's amazing.
So... I know the people that are working with you right now are doing great, but this Comcast internet connection is doing.
When you're talking about uploading, downloading, the complexities of such,
yeah,
it doesn't even come close.
Well, I'll tell you about it. Why in the off-topic discussion, if you stick around for that, I don't know. Have you been? It seems like people have been really enjoying the new format of the show. I've been changing up the intro and outro music to some great stuff from freemusicarchive.org. If people want just like some music to listen to at work and just want to, you know, kind of like discover some new stuff, there's some great music on there. And I didn't even realize this, but I guess I like chiptune music, which is kind of like 8-bit music. And the music, that's kind of what I've been using for the last couple of weeks since we changed over to the new format. And it's pretty good, you know. It's pretty good stuff. It's fun to listen to it. It's you just listen to it as you're turning.
Is it like public domain music?
Yeah, it's completely free. Sorry, as I moved that a little bit, but it's completely free as long as you mention that, you know, this is from so and so, and check it out at freemusicarchive.org. As you hear me say at the end of the podcast and the interviews, which I make sure I do, and it's really good to check out. But I have a feeling the off topic is going to be heavily music focused, so we will leave that for there. And I think unless there's anything else incredibly pressing, that we will go right to the mailbag. Sound good?
You sound good. All right. I will take the first question for you, Kevin.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, guys, and of course, what up, Lee? I'm hoping you can help me with some issues I have arose lately in my training. Just for some background info, I am a 23-year-old female and weigh around 130 pounds and I'm 5'6". I've been strength training pretty consistently for the last 3 years, and within the last 6 months, I've become more interested in the big boy lifts, heavy squats, deadlift, etc. Lately, though, my strength gains have been exceeding my grip strength. I can easily deadlift 165 pounds and feel confident that my legs and back could handle an increased weight on the bar, but my last 2 reps, I have felt like my grip is going to give out. I'm running into similar problems with pull-ups. I've tried lifting gloves, but they don't seem to help much. Any suggestion on increasing my grip strength? Also, I'm currently lifting in my apartment complex's fitness facility. Read, I'm broken, it's free. And there's no power rack to speak of. There is a Smith machine and both a seated and sled type leg press, but come on, really. I try to avoid machine-based exercises, so I've been doing dumbbell squats, goblet squats, etc. But I feel that my leg training is starting to stall. Any suggestions to set things up would be greatly appreciated. P.S. I'm loving the new format of the show. Keep up the awesome work, Katie.
See, I told you people are loving the new format of the show.
I've heard nothing but praise.
So we had a question that was a little bit like this a few months ago about grip training, and I believe that was also a female that asked it. And this is kind of something that does come into play with my clients is the females, they tend to, you get to a point in in terms of strength where holding the dumbbells becomes such a pain in the ass, and it does kind of tear up your hands a little bit, and to some extent it is just too hard to even hold on to the dumbbells. So a couple of quick things, and we'll kind of go down the list of her question. The first off, if they're okay with it, I think we mentioned this again before, get some chalk. It's very cheap. You can go to your local sports store, sporting goods store, and they will tend to have it. It's probably like $3 for enough chalk that will last you about a year. And you can just kind of keep that in a Tupperware container, and it will be nice and clean. That will help you with your grip strength. And again, you can use that for your chin-ups, your pull-ups, your dumbbell work, pretty much everything, where, when you're going to need to increase the your gripping ability. And I believe this was John that mentioned it way back when, but he said paper towels. And it was either you or John that mentioned it, Lee.
Yeah, John mentioned it. It was paper towels.
Yeah, and it was in regards to deadlifting. So again, that's another thing that you can give a shot if you don't want to get, chalk all over your hands and then all of your clothes. And if they are worried about you making a mess inside that facility or inside your apartment complex. And in terms of exercises, first off, here's some cool things that you can do for grip training. And I love talking about grip training. I think that's something that we really do need. A lot of people do need to focus on because they'll tend to not go heavy just because it is so uncomfortable to hold on to the weight. They'll tend to just say, I'll just do, 35s because it's a little bit easier, and then the training intensity isn't as good as it could be. So, obviously, Farmer's Walks, we talked about that in the past. If you're a little bit challenged in the confines of your facility, so what you can do is you can just, literally just kind of walk around in circles if you really want to. It's going to look weird. So if you don't want to do that, another great alternative that you can do, and I don't know if you have this in your facility, but not necessarily towel chin-ups at this point, unless you're really banging out those chin-ups. You might want to look at like towel pull-ups, but just get a gym towel, like a crappy towel, and throw it through the carabiner of the lat pull-down machine if you have it. Same thing if you have a seated row machine. Again, it's another way you can focus on that grip work. It's easy to set up, and I love that it's a neutral grip. I think a lot of people don't do enough neutral grip work. So again, you get benefits from that. The other thing, again, from the question itself, don't know how heavy your dumbbells go, but going with more low rep lunges, single-legged deadlifts, and single-legged squats, single-leg or rear-foot elevated split squats as well, those are going to be great for lower body training and for grip work. Going with that lower rep range is going to allow you to go with some heavier dumbbells. So again, you're just kind of challenging yourself there as well, and you're also going to be challenging your lower body a little bit. You know, you really don't need too much weight to knock out, you know, some single leg work, and you can mix it up a little bit. Excuse me. So when you go with like rear foot elevated split squats, like that's something, you know, I'll do sets of five, and I kind of max out at like 75 right now, and people will be kind of blown away if you. Listen to the podcast 6 months ago or a year ago, but I'm totally bought in on Mike's single leg thing. Like I haven't back squatted or front squatted in months. I've only been exclusively working on my single leg strength, and believe it or not, you do more single leg work, you become stronger with the single leg exercises. I know it's groundbreaking. It's news that's hitting the wire right now, and it's going to be all over the major networks tonight. So those are things I'd start out with. Again, focus on those single leg movements, and if you do have a bar, and you know what, it probably wouldn't even hurt that much if you use the Smith machine for some like heavy barbell single legged deadlifts. I mean, again, it's not the perfect scenario, but when you are limited with the equipment that you have, you know what? It's going to be okay. You're not going to be weaker from doing them. If anything, you're going to allow yourself to be challenged a little bit more, and you're going to get a lot out of that single leg movement as well. A couple quick things. Make sure when you are doing these single leg movements with a single legged deadlifts, make sure you're not externally rotating at the hips. Make sure you keep those hips turned in. That's something that we see quite a bit. One little trick that you can do is the leg that's going to be the trailing leg or going back, you can actually turn that foot in, just internally rotate it a little bit. It will help keep those hips closed off. And obviously for any kind of single-legged squats, just make sure that knee's not caving in. Again, we can get those glutes to fire. Even if you want, just bend that knee a little bit more than you normally think you would want to for those single-legged deadlifts, and you will definitely get much more glute activation in there. Your ass will be sore for days. So there's a couple quick things that you can do, and hopefully if you need any kind of like follow-up or clarification, just email me at kevin@thefitcast.com, and I'll be glad to shoot you some more stuff just to make sure you get on the right track. But I hear what you're saying. I also have a facility at my apartment building, and it kind of sucks. Like I've been in there once, and it's mostly BOSU balls and dudes with sleeveless shirts doing curls. So although, you know what, I do that too. So Lee, do you have anything that I missed out on?
I thought that was great. Only thing I guess I would add is if you wanted to add any specific exercises that kind of worked on the grip. I know that I was having some struggling with my grip, and when I added in plate pinches, really helped me, particularly working with my grip. I saw some increased forearm strength and finger strength, which was kind of where I was, you know, my fingers would peel away before anything else would kind of go. And I really needed to strengthen kind of like my actual fingertip grip in the sense of things. So plate pinches really helped me with that. You can do single-handed plate pinches or two-handed plate pinches. I've had a lot of people anecdotally that really like the fat grips or switching up the fat bars, and sometimes they say that that helps. I haven't ever worked with it personally, but I know that people have had good results for that. But I will say that one of the godsends I've had for myself was chalk and plate pinches. Those made kind of the biggest difference in the most immediate sense for me. But aside from pretty much everything Kevin said about working it in small ways with all your training and whatnot. So,
And then you brought up a good point about the, like the thick bars. And also if you want something that obviously, if you don't have like a thick bar or anything like that, you can also get some like Lynx grips, which are pretty cheap. I think they're like 15 or 20 bucks. And again, that will allow you to not only it'll help you increase your grip again. You know, some of those dumbbells might be crappy, but the grips might have worn off over the years, or they just might be.
Especially with those apartment complex things, you know, they usually kind of scrape by the bare minimum of what they want. So it can really help you kind of bulk up on what kind of a thing you're using, and it's a cheap accessory you can add to anything you got.
Absolutely, definitely. So I think we got that covered. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the next question, so stick around. We're back from the break. Hope you enjoyed that music. We have some feedback from Julia. She says, "Hey guys, love the show. I'm a nursing student in Denver, University of Colorado, and my professor for pathophysiology is Terry Hernandez, the author of the study cited in the New York Times article you mentioned on the podcast. Just to answer Lee's question, yes, new fat cells did appear in the abdomen and arms of the patients in the study. This is unusual and significant. Since you guys know that existing fat cells normally swell and swell with weight gain, not multiply, best wishes, keep up the good work."
How cool is that?
We got some...
That's so cool.
Got the listeners out there.
Well, not cool about the fat cells growing, but very cool that that she wrote in. I appreciate that, and that is interesting. That's very interesting because it's generally very hard to make fat cells grow after puberty. You normally really have to get pretty heavy and obese. So the fact that removing them via liposuction makes that that pathology easier to take place. It's pretty fascinating. That's a pretty big thing to hit on in research. So thank you very much for sharing that, Terry.
Absolutely. And now just get on. Why does muscle weigh more than fat? Why do people keep saying that?
I don't know, man.
Still saying that
shit. What's heavier, a pound of feathers or a pound of brick?
Dude, that Sesame Street movie is awesome. Still remember that. Do you remember that? Or no, like they had a way like they're like gold in a heart or something like that. I don't remember.
Oh, that I'm not remembering. All I got to follow that bird.
Oh, by the way, Bill and Ted 3, folks, it's coming. We did it. All right, so the next question that we have comes from Matt. Big fan of the FitCast. Only the second time ever writing in. I normally hear and tend to side with the opinion a calorie is a calorie and how the energy balance equation reigns supreme. Well, I just finished reading an article from someone who's a natural bodybuilder, and you know what? He's got a pretty good background in terms of educations and certifications and even a nutrition degree, or an advanced degree in nutrition and kinesiology, so he's a pretty well-rounded resource. Anyways, he cites several, quote, case studies where the energy balance equation doesn't seem to add up. I found it very interesting and thought you might also. So that's from Matt. Lee, what do you think? I mean, this has come up a couple times in the past, and you know, there's pretty much been one side that we've had on the show about it, but you know, what could he be citing?
Well, reading the article and the reason that I think maybe we shouldn't link to it is because I think, and not to insult Matt, I think that you kind of misunderstood the article in a sense, because the article wasn't saying that energy balance did not exist. It was saying that there's more factors to it than simply, I guess, eat less, move more. And no one's ever, I don't think anyone that's ever believed in the science of thermodynamics has ever argued that. The thing that bothers me about this question, and it will continue to bother me until the end of time about this question, because I will always be arguing this point and until the day I die, is that it's an opinion. And I think it's funny that Matt used the term, I've always sided with the opinion. It's not an opinion. It just is. And as much as people want to argue that, they can't, because it just is. The law of energy is very absolute. But what is conditional, what is variable, is what makes up your caloric burn, what affects your caloric burn, how your caloric burn is regulated. And where a lot of people get things wrong is when they're trying to understand or explain or define the reasons why their method of trying to decrease their fat loss, which generally is where it comes about, because you don't usually see people arguing about this in maintenance or muscle gain. But when they're trying to decrease their fat loss, when it doesn't go the way that they wanted it to go, they start to go, okay, well, they're obviously a calorie is a calorie does not count. Obviously, this is not the case, and there's some sort of mythical element, or there's something wrong with my body, or carbohydrates are to blame, or fat is to blame, and it goes on from there. So let's look at that shortly and briefly at just a few of the many reasons that things cannot add up appropriately. Because the math is always there. It's just the numbers that you're working with. One of the first aspects that we have to look at is activity. And a lot of people completely bypass activity as a standpoint of trying to determine what their caloric intake needs to be. They seem to think that activity is stagnant, or that it is static. It does not change, that whatever your size is, whatever your gender is, and whatever your age is, therefore your activity factor so shall be. When the same person, same height, same age, same gender can have a completely different activity factor than another person at the exact same pass, depending on their job, their lifestyle, their psychology, their hobbies, everything changes from one step to another, literally what your activity is. So, you know, a guy named Dan and then a guy named Bob, exact same stats, but live different lifestyles, are going to burn different calories. One could burn 1,000 more calories a day than the other. How you burn calories and what that is, one of the other factors, is affected by so many things. The calories that you do eat, yes, they matter. The type of macros, distribution that you choose to have, how you're affected by a decrease or excess of those macros and distributions. So, example, some people eat carbohydrates and they get very lethargic, very Thanksgiving, I've eat too much meal kind of thing. And they don't have as good of carbohydrate sensitivity. They might have more resistance to insulin or carbohydrate intake. So for them, they function or are less lethargic better on a lower carbohydrate, higher fiber based diet. Whereas other people, you give them carbs and they are the born reason of why you say don't give children sugar before bed. And it's just, there are the variables. They are real. They do exist. But within that variable and within that scenario and situation, the truth of the matter is that it always does go back to the energy balance. And when you look at the fact that, for example, I was doing a lot of research for the challenge that I was doing on steps and how many steps are given into a day. And the national average for how many steps a person takes in a day is around 2,500 to 3,000 steps. Some people might think that that still sounds very high. But the average person, if you say they weighed between 150 to 160 pounds, is only going to burn roughly 100 calories for every 2,000 steps. Now, if you're a larger male or obese person, you could get up to 150 calories, maybe 175 calories per 2,000 steps if you're a little bit more overweight. If you're really out of condition and out of shape, you would probably be burning like 200 calorie per 2,000 steps, something like that, because it would be take such an effort for you to walk and move. But I think that you get my point. That's not staggering. It's really not a lot of calories for 2,000 steps. If you look at what it takes to create 2,000 steps, or if you've ever worn a pedometer or anything like that, you would get a harsh reality check very instantly. We are not active. We're just not. We get up, we ride in a car, we go to work, we sit at work, we come home, and we sit at home. There's very little house activity and lifestyle activity. Even if you do training, you're lucky to add on just a little bit more expenditure there. And most of the time, the simple problem is that people aren't moving as much as they do. They have entitlement issues with how many calories they think they deserve, or they have issues with what it is that they feel they should be in a range of, and they start to make reasonings, rationalizations, excuses, or whatnot for that. It's not unfounded, or I've done it. I mean, I did it in the past. I thought that I was owed way more calories than I was at periods of time in my life when I just simply wasn't. And it's just one of those things that we see happen a lot. And people also forget that these caloric measurings, the measurement of food and how many calories they have, formulas that determine what your BMR are. These are all guesses. These are all educated guesses. They're scientific-based guesses, but they are guesses at best. It's not as if that when you do a BMR calculation, oh, that's it, that magic number fits you. No, it's just an estimation. Your activity factors are estimation. Your BMRs are estimations. The food that you eat are estimations. All of these things are estimations. There is nothing that says everything is exactly those numbers that you think. And it's so easy to be off 200, 300 calories without a problem. And the next thing you know, you're not moving anywhere. You're stalled. And it's a big problem. You add on long-term dieting, metabolic adaptations, decrease of carbohydrates, or any sort of decrease of metabolic advantage. And you have people that are easily stuck when they feel they are so entitled into a situation. And it's not in a judgment sense that I say it. I've been in the exact same frustration spot that everyone else has in my life as well. And it's how I came to, it's part of the reason I came so good to be good at it. But there's always an answer. And that's the point. There's always an answer. It's not an opinion. It is our scientific fact. So you just have to look at what you're doing. You have to look at what your life is and what your lifestyle is, how you're being affected negatively or positively by a diet. If you eat more, yes, you do burn more calories, but it has to be still at a certain level that you're maintaining a caloric deficit. All these things are very true to fact, and you just have to really look at your situation with a critical thinking eye. And instead of saying that there's some sort of crazy conspiracy or macronutrient or toxin or whatnot that is causing you to have this problem, use them as variables. Use them to see how they shape your life, your activity, your health, and then adjust accordingly. And know that at the end result, it is that equation that matters, but you can alter your equation. You can alter your equation through so many means and different methods. And I think that that's where people continually get it wrong. The equation is fine. It's just how you react in that equation and how you can alter that equation. And there's nothing wrong with optimability or anything like that. You just have to realize, you have to realize the animal that you're dealing with. I mean, I always say that fat loss is a strategy. It is a war. You make a move, your body makes a move, and you just have to always be one step ahead of a pretty intense battle. So that's my response to that. And I mean, I think we'll still be talking about it until the end of time, but that's my response.
Very good. And we did have one more question, but since John's not here, he's being irresponsible and on vacation. I'm sorry, but your question's not going to be answered. you can contact John at John. No, I'm just kidding. So that's going to be it for our show for this week, for this Monday. So hopefully you will join us this upcoming Friday for the Pulse. I believe I'm going to have an interview for you on Wednesday. We will see. That's still kind of coming together. If you have any suggestions for guests, you can always email me at kevin@thefitcast.com. You can send in your questions for the mailbag to questions@thefitcast.com. And I think we're just going to go record some off-topic stuff now, so hopefully you'll stick around for that. There is going to be plenty of tomfoolery there. So, Lee, anything else?
I think I'm good, Kevin.
All right, so check out thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes. Thanks again for listening. I apologize for my headset this week. We'll be better next week. Take care. All right, so we're here for the off-topic discussion this week. We're doing things out of order. We're actually recording this at the end of the show, which, you know what, is interesting. I think we had a pretty clean show this week, so maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's a, I don't know if that's a sign or not, but
Maybe we focused a little bit better.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about because first thing I'm going to bring up is famous naked people. what is it? Naked, the Naked and Famous.
The Naked and Famous, yes.
Holy crap. What?
Good stuff.
Wow, they're amazing. They're like right up my alley with they're very much like Passion Pit. If you like some Passion Pit, like the same kind of you know, audio stuff, very digitized music. Amazing. Their whole CD, their latest one, I think it's like Passive Me, Aggressive You, and I really recommend checking it out. It's $6 on Amazon MP3 store. So it's dirt cheap.
Ridiculously cheap.
It's super cheap.
Such good music.
Now I'll be honest. I downloaded it from a bad place because I was kind of like on the run, and I immediately when I saw it on Amazon, I bought it on Amazon for $6, because they definitely deserve the dough. But yeah, man, that's...
I really like All of This. That's the jam. That's the song that I'm feeling.
Youngblood is like their new, like I heard it on the radio because they're coming into Boston to play for this local radio station has like a summer fest every year, and they're coming to play, so I think I'm gonna see if I can go check them out. And yeah, man, that song I probably heard like 10 times in the last 2 days just because it's been on the radio so much, and listened to it on the iPod. But
what I understand, they seem to be pretty awesome people, and I was so surprised when I first saw a video, and I was like, oh wow, she's like this tiny little Asian chick.
Oh, no
way.
This
tiny little thing. Yeah, no, I didn't see it coming. Like, she's just this little thing, just absolutely adorable, just precious. So yeah, very cool band.
Shot. You know, you can be honest.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. Is she hot?
She's not bad.
She's cute.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think she's cute. I look at people in categories of, I think there's an adorable, I think there's an adorable rating. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you're rating higher on adorable than you're rating on like sex kitten,
yeah,
and then you're going to kind of go towards that cute category, which
sure.
Anything wrong with that. At all.
Oh man, it looks like they're pretty big. They were winning some awards in England. I guess they're big overseas.
Yeah, they are more of an overseas. They're invading, is what they are.
Good. No, good. And wow, New Zealand. They're from New Zealand. Does that sound right? I don't know. Well, that's super cool. And I'm going to continue to dominate the off topic with.
When do you not?
Oh, it's usually most of the time. But I'm back on a Dreamcast kick, and.
I just saw you put it into a cabinet.
Yeah, well, I bought. I mean, the stuff is so cheap. It's such. It makes so much sense to make that like the brains of an arcade machine, because they, originally back in the early 98, 99, 2000, Sega used the what is essentially the Dreamcast hardware for their arcade games. So, lots of arcade perfect ports, and so I decided to. Do that. Got some 2 light guns and 2 fishing rod controllers, and got all the woodworking done today. So,
If fishing is that literal?
Yeah, they had a Sega fishing game. They actually had 3 of them. Sega, I think it's Sega Bass Fishing 1 and 2, and then Sega Marine Fishing. They actually had like you know if you were in the arcades in the early. Aughts, you would have seen Sega Bass Fishing. What are you laughing at?
That's a proper term. I just didn't realize that such a thing existed.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really fun. It's kind of like Crazy Taxi with fishing, if that makes sense.
Okay. That's completely awesome.
It's like, you have a time limit.
So is it hooked up and you're going to have like a big monitor and you're going to be able to access it via controllers on the board and everything, or...
Basically, this is the thing that I used to have like the 1100 games in.
Yes.
So there's already a 20-inch Sony VGA monitor, which hooked up to the Dreamcast through VGA. Everything looks beautiful, and it will still allow me to use the light guns thanks to the CRT technology. And I can't wait. The thing I have to wait for is. You basically need to have someone hack the controllers. You have to solder onto the contacts of an actual controller board, then wire those up to the arcade buttons and sticks.
Gotcha. Okay, because that's what I was curious about.
Yeah, so that's the big money thing. That thing is costing me about $50 because you have to obviously someone has to buy the controllers, then they have to take the time to solder all the wires. Like, you have to solder, I mean, if you think about it, you have four directions and then you have six buttons, so there's 10 soldering points on each board. And I can solder, but I can't solder that well. I even tried it, and it, you know, it just wasn't happening. I don't have a very good soldering iron, so that was the extent of my my manliness, is the woodworking that I did, drilling holes. And I just finished uploading a whole video of the stuff that I did today, so if people want to check that out, it will be on youtube.com/larrabee213, which is kind of like my personal video section where there's arcade stuff on there. And man, I'm just telling you that, like, I have such nostalgia for that machine. Roger Lawson and I were actually talking about it over the weekend, and
the Dreamcast.
You know, I have such great memories of it. And I don't even know who I was talking to before this. Oh no, what I wrote something up. What the hell did I type up? Oh, I was writing on like some video game form. But anyways, along with that, have we ever talked about Shenmue? It was a
game. Like the crazy like the mega release game for Dreamcast?
Yeah,
wasn't that like the really big one that was like very expensive?
Yeah, it cost about $62 million.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that expensive.
Yeah, it held the reign as the most expensive video game ever, and it came out in 2000. So if you think about $2,000, that was
insane.
A crap ton of money. Well, it was what more or less bankrupted, or not bankrupt, but it made Sega get out of the console business because they ran out of money. They dumped so much money into that game. And I bought it like the week of release back in 2000, whatever. I think it was like September 2000. And for some reason, I just never beat it. I got, you know, lost, or I know for some reason I didn't beat it. I tried going back to it when I was in college back in 2006. I got, you know, to the second disc, which is a 3-disc game. So, and I still, you know, again, I got caught up with school or something like that, never came back to it. And then finally last week, I plowed through that game. I was staying up until 1:30 in the morning. And I was just like, I was locked in, and I beat it in, I think, like 4 days, and it's like a 20-hour game. So, you know, I'd work until like 8 o'clock, and then from 8 to like 1 a.m., I would play games, and then still wake up at 6:30 and get back to things. But yeah, so anyways, that
it's dedication.
It's a fantastic game, and it's just like, in terms of the history of it, like, you're playing through it, and I'm like, I totally see what they were trying to do. Like, they spent so much money putting so much detail into this game. And just the history behind it is so interesting.
It's an underappreciated phenomenon that is overlooked in the history of video games.
But you know, between like most like hardcore gamers know it and have at least, you know, tried it.
But obviously, it didn't sell that well. The average Jane Joe game user does not.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it only sold like 1.5 million copies, and there were like 9 million Dreamcasts at the time. And, you know, it was to the extent where when Sega decided to stop producing the Dreamcast, like, they had another million copies that were still sealed and that they tried to get rid of for $5 a pop. And so anyways, they made a sequel. And the sequel came out in Japan and Europe in 2001, but it never came out in the United States. So I imported a copy from the UK, which cost me about $60, which is like the cost of a new game now. Which sounds stupid because it was also available on the Xbox, but it had English like dubs. Like, the English voice acting is absolutely terrible in these games. Like, it's laughable. Like, you have like, it is like commonly, you know, referred to as, you know, having horrible localization. Like, you'll have like some kids that will talk to you that are playing soccer out in the streets, and they'll just be like, "Hey, Will, Want to play soccer? And it was like, it was horrible. It was like New England voice actors that they just picked up off the street. But if you can find a Dreamcast and find a copy of this game, like the detail and the nuances in this game is just, it will blow you away. Even for today's standards, it is just so detailed. There was so much love and care put into that game. You know, the game isn't even in itself that great. It's just experiencing all the little things that they did. Like, there was literally 300 different, or I think it was like 350 individual characters in this game who had their own lives. They would all have, like, unique things that they would say to you on the streets, and they went to work, and then you would actually see them coming home from work, and they'll talk about their day. Like, it was nuts. It was just like, it was way too much. Like, they went so overboard, and so anyways, I just started up the second one, but I, you know, it's just crazy. It's just such great history from it. And I'm telling you, just like the Sega Dreamcast is the first thing I ever bought with my own money, like from work, and it was right when I was 14, my first job as a grocery store bagger, and it was just such like a magical time. Like, you know, I'm horribly nostalgic, for better or worse. Like, I had not the most perfect childhood, but there's just little things that I'm so nostalgic for.
No. I have really big nostalgia for the Dreamcast. I think the Genesis overrides it for me. I think the Genesis, I mean, Sega in general, Sega, like I hear that, I get so happy. And I think the Genesis overrides the Dreamcast for me in the nostalgia department. Maybe it was all those times of playing Eco the Dolphin with people over at their house for just, I don't know why, for so long. But it does it for me on a nostalgic level. But there's something about, I played Nintendo like crazy, but the Sega consoles,
the
just
brand,
has this,
yeah.
I don't know what it is. There's something about it that made you feel like that everything was okay in the world when you played it for the short time you played it.
There
really was. Like, there was something about, you played Nintendo and it was like running through the motions in a sense, but you played the Sega and you teleported a little bit. It was like, well, okay, everything's okay in the world for a little while.
Well, it was different. It was, you know, their whole slogan back then, and again, this, I'm telling you right now, if I wasn't in the fitness industry, I would find my way into the video game industry. I'd claw my way into it, but you know, they always had, their slogan was Sega does what Nintendo don't. And they totally carried over into the Dreamcast as well. Like, I'm telling you, Lee, I have these games that are just so weird and awkward that they're clearly Japanese. Like, you would never see them made here in America. Like, have you heard of, do you remember Seaman?
No.
It was like this little fish that you had a microphone. You could talk to him. It was narrated by Leonard Nimoy. And you could turn the heat up on the fish tank and you could kill your fish. But it was a fish with a man's face on the end of it. Like, you have to look up this videos on YouTube for Seaman.
Weird stuff right there.
It's almost like you want to look at some of the stuff that they made and like question it. And It's the reason why I almost have the complete Dreamcast library. It's something that I've probably been the most hardcore about in my, you know, my video game playing. I love the console. It is such a compact piece of technology that they just did a great job with it. And you know what? Some people might think I sound crazy, but I know there's dudes out there with cars. You know, they're obsessed with cars, and you know, there's women out there that might be obsessed with, you know, the latest Prada bag or something like that. You know, I see that too. And this is just, you know, this is kind of my thing. And, you know, I think that's like, oh man, like I'm telling you, like if you just, like, you guys can go out there, search on eBay, you can get a Dreamcast for $20 and you can get games for, like, most of the games are under $10, and you can even order them brand new from Amazon. Like, you can order brand new Dreamcast games still for Amazon for under $10. It's nuts.
Oh, you can still get them brand new.
Brand new. I've a bunch of, you know, brand new Dreamcast games, like, and like good games, like look at like Jet Grind Radio.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh my god, the soundtrack for that game is just the bee's knees. It's
that game was like made for anyone that watched the movie Hackers.
Oh, totally. And it came out like 4 years after Hackers. It was like, you know, man, that's good. Well, actually, damn, you're right. That is like Hackers the game.
It's kind of like, I feel like whenever that played that game, it was like if the guys got together in Hackers and decided they were going to make a video game, that's the game that they would have came out with.
Yeah, it needed more, oh God, I can't remember that guy's name that played played the bad guy. It had Penn Gillette in it, but oh man, I should know that guy's name. He was also in
Fisher
Early Edition. Fisher Stevens. Yeah, we talked about Fisher Stevens like a couple months ago on the podcast.
I think we have spoke about Fisher Stevens.
Way too much.
Or Eugene Belford, as he is known.
Yeah. He doesn't like being called that. So he's like, what is it? Like, call me Acid Burn. Or no, Acid Burn was Jolie.
The Plague. He's the Plague.
Yes,
he's the Plague.
But yeah, so anyways, at this point, like, you know, I own two sealed Dreamcasts in, like, boxes. Like, that's how disturbing this obsession
hardcore.
Is.
You ever really... That's okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, I got one of them for $50, like, a couple years ago when they were kind of worthless. And then they popped up again on Amazon. I think a year ago they had, like, some pallet that was in the warehouse, so... I think it was like $80 for one. And, you know, I want to hold on to those because, you know, I kind of, you know, you never know when those things are going to go. But for the most part, I have five of them and I have never had one die on me. So probably from having five Dreamcasts.
Probably. I still have mine. Mine still works.
Yeah, it's such a tragic story. If you ever look up, look it up on Wikipedia or on YouTube, they have the history of the Dreamcast and how it died. Man, it is just like, it's like, where did they go wrong? It was obviously something they did in Japan. It wasn't, it did really well in America, but, yeah, it was a magical time. But anyways, we just spent about 18 minutes talking about the Dreamcast. Lee, what have you been up to? You've been, you know, checking out any cool stuff?
I haven't had a lot of non-work downtime or non-technology time. I haven't had a lot of technology time. The only thing I've really been doing is like I said before, I'm obsessed with The West Wing. And I've been watching, I'm going through the seasons. I'm now in the third season of it. And I'm just absolutely obsessed with that show. It makes me feel better about the world, that show.
I'm still waiting for that to come on, Netflix. I had a couple seasons that I borrowed from my stepfather, but it's so weird. I can't watch stuff unless it's on Netflix now. It's like, oh man, I gotta get up and put a disc in.
You're waiting for it to stream? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to limit my need at this point. I'm just.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Once I get on the couch.
I mean, you know, Wall-E. That's good.
So I'm telling you, I walk that dog so damn much to keep his energy, you know.
If my dog ever left my presence, and if I actually got over it, I think my caloric expenditure would probably decrease by like 60%.
Yeah.
How much I walk my dog.
Yeah.
Walk my dog.
They're even dead right now. I've been running them out back all day, like just, you know, every half an hour, just running out back for like 10 minutes.
Oh, because
so,
you're at your parents.
Back.
Does he get along good with your parents?
Oh, they've been doing great. Like the older dog, originally not so much, but now the older dog has taken on like a fatherly figure type. You know, he even like he's like cleaned his face and stuff, and they're just they're cute together, and they're both like super neurotic. Like they, if you like start looking like you're gonna leave them, like they freak out, and when you get back, they freak out. And they like, it's just like one dog is younger than the other. Like they're both black labs and, you know, they're both passed out right now on the floor next to me. So.
So sweet.
They're doing it. I posted some, I posted some pictures on Facebook if people are interested of them, interacting. So, yeah, that's about it, but I think that. Oh, I left John probably a better birthday message than I left you.
No.
Did you see what I left him on Facebook?
No,
got like 20 thumbs up. It's pretty good. Well, I'm gonna let Lee check that out. We'll wrap up the off topic now. That was 20 minutes, about as long as the actual show. So we'll see you next week. Hope you enjoyed it, and take care.